Shabbat Shalom, our Friday podcast. Pastor Tim Karskatten here, Christian Center, Shreveport. I hope you're having a good day today as we're discussing this week, can Christians have demons? A very controversial topic, but we wanted to tackle it, so let's sit back and enjoy. Well, Shabbat Shalom. It's our Friday podcast. I realize others listen at different times, but if you're listening on schedule, we pray you have a great day today and a great rest tonight. If you celebrate any form of Shabbat, just as a time of peace and rest, we're not talking about legalism, just a time to reflect and spend time with the Lord. That's what we believe it's about. But this is our last topic, our last day this week when we cover this issue. Can Christians have demons? We do have a course going on in our Sunday morning school of ministry at 9:30. If you're a Christian Center, keep coming. We're going to be going through most of the month of September with this topic on discussing the book, You Shall Expel Demons by Derek Prince, an old book, but a really foundational book, really helpful. And this week we've been discussing basically, can it happen? And if so, where does the demonic realm reside in a Christian, or can it? Or, you know, we've been discussing that, and I personally believe, and what we believe is that, yes, it can happen. We don't believe in full possession because that's 100%. We don't believe a Christian can be fully possessed. We just believe in the soulish realm, the want, the mind, the will, and the emotions. There are strongholds that the enemy holds there. I remember a book by a guy named Paul, a prophet named Paul Keith Davis. Many of y'all know him. He wrote a book called Thrones of Our Soul. And the Lord gave him a vision of the soul of man, and he saw 18 thrones on there, which is interesting because that's 666, which is not a, you know, Antichrist number per se. It's the number of man, as it says in the book of Revelation. And he says that there were 18 demonic powers sitting on the soul of this person he saw the vision of. And then as he would wash the water of the word on each throne, eventually that demonic force would be dismounted, removed from that throne. And, you know, the goal was to complete that 18 number, and then eventually man was totally free. So, you know, I think that's an interesting vision. And what we do, the word, the power, which is Jesus, Jesus is the word. As we pour him on the issues of our heart, we dethrone the enemy. So his vision kind of validates what we're talking about in the soulish realm where the enemy can reside. Look, don't think yourself as evil or those that do as evil. Look at it as just, look, this is a fallen world. And the demonic realm, and we can talk later about where demons come from, but it doesn't matter. They're real. For anybody who doesn't believe they're real, they've never had an encounter with them. They need to come to a deliverance service and you'll believe after that. you know, and you can say it's mental, whatever. I don't know. I just know we've cast them out, and I've seen people get free. And that's the best I can, like that blind young man. I once was blind, but now I see. I mean, it's just basically the facts are we've seen it happen. And I think Jesus spent much of his energy. We've been talking about that this week as well, about dealing with this. Healing ministry, evangelism, everything should be tied to demonic dispossession, removing it, removing the enemy from a lost person, definitely, who comes to the Lord, but then two, from believers who are bound and tormented by strongholds that have been bothering them for generations. You know, that's what Christ died for. So when we look at the mission of Jesus and the pattern of how he dealt with this, it's amazing. You know, one of the earliest scenes, we talked about it earlier, but in public ministry was how Jesus dealt with demons. And one was there in a synagogue in Capernaum in Mark chapter 1. It says they went in and, you know, they entered in the synagogue and they were astonished at his teaching. It says, for he taught them as one who having authority and not as the scribes. And said, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. And what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? These are the demons speaking. Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and he cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. You know, that's in the synagogue. Okay, in other sense, that was a church of that time. So this would have been somebody who believed in Jesus, that somebody who would have believed, would have believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now they're believing in Jesus because he's come in among them and he's begun to deal with the issues that are going on there. And so we see the people's reaction in the next couple of verses. It says they were all amazed. And so they question among themselves, who is this? What is this? A new doctrine with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread out throughout all the region of Galilee. Now, some verses, translations, I should say unclean spirit. And the Greek actually says in an unclean spirit. But the closest English we have is under the influence of an unclean spirit. That's the best way we can look at it. We want to understand that that can happen. We see that as a believer. So when it's not translated properly, then you can see where it obscures the theology on this issue. So Jesus had been preaching in Galilee, and this time the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand, he tells us in this chapter as well. Now, he had to demonstrate the superiority of the kingdom of God over the kingdom of Satan. So there are some things that we need to notice here that happen. And, Derek talks about this in his book about some of the things that we can take from that story. So let me go through those real quickly. Number one, Jesus dealt with a demon, not with a man. The demon spoke out of the man. Jesus spoke to the demon. So he said the demon had to be muzzled. Second, Jesus expelled the demon from the man, not the man from the synagogue. He didn't kick the man out of church. He kicked the demon out of the man. Third thing was, Jesus was in no way embarrassed by the interruption or disturbance. Dealing with a demon was part of his total ministry. I think we have a problem with that today. Fourth thing, the demon spoke in both singular and plural forms. Did you come to destroy us? Plural. I know you. I know who you are. Their response is characteristic of a demon speaking for itself and on behalf of others. The demon is the man. The demon in the man of Gadara used the same form of speech. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That's in Mark chapter 5. The fifth thing, it is reasonable to assume that the man was a regular member of synagogue, but apparently no one knew he needed deliverance from a demon. Perhaps even the man himself did not even know. The anointing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus, or on Jesus, forced the demon to be open. We've been talking about that all week. Came out in the open, I should say. And then the last thing, sixth thing he says is, was this dramatic confrontation with a demon in the synagogue that launched Jesus into his public ministry. And he became known to his fellow Jews, first and foremost, as a man with unique authority over demons. Okay, so we see that this was the main thrust, one of the main thrusts of his ministry, one of them, I should say, was dealing with this issue. And I think that's really interesting that nobody even knew, we can tell through Scripture, that he needed help. So how many people are among us and around us, how many of your family members and friends and co-believers that are bound and don't even know it? They don't know it's demonic. They just think they're having a problem, and they think something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. In this chapter, it goes on. It says, at the evening of sunset, and they brought before him all who were sick and all those who were demonized. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And then he healed many who were sick and various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. And we see the same thing declared in Luke chapter 4. So, wow, public ministry of dealing with those issues. Paul said that we'd make open display of the enemy. Maybe that's one reason we're not seeing the power of God manifested the way it should be, is because we're not dealing with this issue. I've done it in back rooms and prayer rooms and counseling sessions. I do it there. It's a little more cleaner that way. Everybody's not freaking out. But, sometimes when public deliverance, when we've had them, when they happen, it just really affects everybody. Everybody's like, whoa, this realm is real. We see this person manifest that way, but then when they see him get free, man, we would just rejoice in the power of Christ and what he's done for us and how he set us free. And that is our message in this topic. And we're doing a class on it, and I encourage you, go get the book. You know, it's an old book. I think there's an updated one, but there's an old book. You can get it online. You Shall Expel Demons, Derek Prince, and it's in PDF form. It's free. You can get it and just start your own journey, you know, dealing with your own stuff. We do a lot of stuff. To me, inner healing, you know, I think that gets misused and sounds like a lot of counseling and a lot of natural stuff. But the fact is, inner healing is healing the soul, the wounded area where the enemy has resided and brought wounds. So as we close out today's podcast, I just want to pray for you. That God would just give you revelation and dig deeper in this topic, and maybe we will as well as we go forward. But Father, I pray for everybody listening today. If there's any area in their life where the enemy has resided in any form in their soul, I just pray for his real strength right now. Let them take this truth that the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and the blood that you shed is more than enough to deal with those issues within them. I speak to anything. Right now, if you're listening, you've been battling, tormented with strongholds for generations and for years. I just say, Lord, I ask you to, the Lord rebuke that thing and come out. If there's something in anybody right now, I ask it to come out in Jesus' name, and that they'd be free of anything that the enemy's tried to put on them as a believer, that they will be removed themselves, or they should remove themselves from any condemnation. That, Lord, this is just the enemy, and he hates us, and he hates what we do, because we are advocates and ambassadors for you, and that we can set others free by the power that you have given each one of them. I pray that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, Shabbat Shalom. That's the rest. Shabbat Shalom means to enter into the rest of what Jesus did, and he did enough to set us all free. Well, God bless you. Keep digging. Let's all become pure like Jesus was. May God bless you. Have a good weekend. See you.